Everyone who serves the Lord needs to be consistent in the work that they do for the Lord. And that includes all Christians. We need to be consistent in our labor for the Lord. And we're fighting a battle, and there's a lot of things out there, a lot of influences that Satan has in this world to try to get us to be inconsistent and to try to get us to be weak and to try to get us to fall away from the Lord. And gospel preachers and elders are certainly not immune to these fiery darts. And there's a great need for preachers to be consistent in their lifestyle, consistent in the preaching that they do. You know, it is possible to serve the Lord very well for many, many years and then do things that make us lose our reward. Paul discussed this in 1 Corinthians 9:24 to 27. He was afraid that he would lose his reward after having taught all these people, he said. And so it is possible we need to be ever on guard. In 1 Kings chapter 13, if you would please take your markers and place them at 1 Kings chapter 13. Follow along with the lesson. Make sure that the things that I'm teaching are true. Check them out with the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians 13, we're introduced to a prophet here. We really don't know the prophet's name. We're not told what his name is. But we certainly do learn some very important and very crucial spiritual lessons from the story about this prophet. And there are three things that I want us to notice in regards to this prophet, and we'll just call our lesson inconsistency, because this prophet, he did some great work, but then he became inconsistent. And the three things that I want us to notice this evening about this story is a ministry described. Now, to minister literally means to serve. And what we're talking about is serving the Lord and serving God. Remember, Paul told Timothy, fulfill your ministry, after he just told him to preach the word. And so gospel preachers are, in a sense, ministers. They're serving the Lord in the capacity of preaching the word and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, this prophet here, he was sent by God to preach against King Jeroboam. And let's just read here, verse 1 of 1 Kings 13. And behold, a man of God went from Judah to Bethel by the word of the Lord, and Jeroboam stood by the altar to burn incense. And then he cried out against the altar by the word of the Lord, and said, O altar, altar, thus says the Lord, behold, a child, Josiah, by name, shall be born to the house of David. And on you he shall sacrifice the priests of the high places who burn incense on you, and men's bones shall be burned on you. And he gave a sign the same day, saying, this is the sign which the Lord has spoken. Surely the altar shall split apart, and the ashes on it shall be poured out. Now this is the message that he delivered. And I want to note here that this took some courage. It took some boldness to go forth and to speak out against the altar that the king was standing there. He was standing right there, Jeroboam, offering sacrifices on this altar. And this prophet was bold enough to go right up to him and to prophesy against him and even against this altar. And then, as we see so many times in the New Testament, when a message is delivered, a miracle is performed in order to confirm that the message comes from the Lord. In verses 4 to 6, it says, so it came to pass when King Jeroboam heard the saying of the man of God who cried out against the altar in Bethel, that he stretched out his hand from the altar, saying, arrest him. And then his hand which he had stretched out toward him withered, so that he could not pull it back to himself. The altar also was split apart, and the ashes poured out from the altar, according to the sign which the man of God had given by the word of the Lord. And then the king answered and said to the man of God, please entreat the favor of the Lord your God, and pray for me that my hand may be restored to me. So the man of God entreated the Lord, and the king's hand was restored to him and became as before. And so you see again the boldness it took, the courage it took. I mean, just what this prophet might have expected in his mind. I don't know what was going through his mind, but he surely recognized the dangers in what he was doing, confronting the king, giving that message. And the king did become angry and want to have the man arrested. And God performed a miracle, didn't he? And that confirmed that this man was from God. If you read through and about the miracles and the miraculous spiritual gifts in the New Testament, we study this very often, you'll see that the purpose of those gifts, those spiritual gifts, those miraculous spiritual gifts, was to confirm the word that was preached. In Mark 16, verse 16 down through the end of the chapter, it talks about the miracles and the signs following them in order to confirm the word in them. Remember Hebrews 2 in the first four verses? Where it talks about God bearing witness to the things taught with the signs and the wonders and the miracles. That was the purpose of the miracles in the New Testament. But once the gospel was completely revealed, and once it was perfect, there was no need for miracles. So they would cease, as Paul taught in 1 Corinthians 13. And so here, there's a message delivered that took boldness. There is a miracle performed that was to confirm the word as being from God. And then there was a mandate that was stated. Verse 7 to 10. It says, "Then the king said to the man of God, 'Come home with me and refresh yourself, and I'll give you a reward.' But the man of God said to the king, 'If you were to give me half your house, I would not go in with you, nor would I eat bread nor drink water in this place.'" Now, what the king is offering, by the way, is something grand. I mean, this is a rare honor, a unique treat. To be invited into the king's house and to be showered with the delicacies and the blessings of the king's riches. And the man said, "If you were to give me half your kingdom, I wouldn't come with you." What's up with that? Well, let's read on. Here's the mandate. It says, "For so," verse 9, "For so it was commanded me by the word of the Lord, saying, 'You shall not eat bread nor drink water, nor return by the same way you came.' So he went another way and did not return by the way he came to Bethel." You see, the prophet was told by God not to stop and to eat, and not even to go home the same way that he came. Does that make any sense to you? Do God's commandments have to make sense for us to fulfill them? You know, people today want to balk at the commandments of God. And they want to say, "Well, that just doesn't make any sense. What good is being dunked in water doing anybody? Doesn't make any sense to me." It don't have to make sense, does it? God's commands doesn't always make sense. And God doesn't have to, nor does he always explain why he gives certain commands. He just commands them, and what are we to do? Keep them, right? Should we question God? Should we demand? Should we say it's my right to understand why I must do this? Absolutely not. God commands, and we simply fulfill the command. We simply do what God said to do. There are many people today who give in. They get off the track. They don't continue to follow God. They think they're following God. But it's so crucial that we follow the commandments of the Lord completely. Remember Matthew 7, 21 to 23? When Jesus says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." That's who's going to enter the kingdom of heaven. He who does the will of my Father, not their own will. Many will say to me in that day, "Lord, did we not cast out demons in your name? Do all these wonders in your name, Lord?" Religious people, people who are actively working, so they thought, for the Lord. And Jesus said, "I will declare to them on that day, 'Depart from me, I never knew you, you who practice lawlessness.'" In other words, I gave my law, I told you what to do and how to do it, and you did it your own way. They were inconsistent, weren't they? That passage we mentioned earlier, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 24 to 27, Paul talked about how he needed to remain consistent. I mean, the Apostle Paul. Paul says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And as I've said, you're not the only one going to heaven, but you're not going to heaven unless you run as if only one were going to make it, and you're determined that one's going to be you. That's what Paul's saying here. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore I run thus, not with uncertainty, thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Paul said, I could become disqualified from the race. What he's saying here is, I could lose my soul after spending all these years, putting forth all this effort, traveling to all these places around the world, teaching all these people the gospel, establishing all these churches, appointing all these elders in those churches, writing all these epistles. I could still end up going to hell. That's what Paul said. We have to continue to be consistent with the Word of God, don't we? This prophet showed some consistency here in his ministry. He delivered the message he was told to deliver. He began to follow the Lord's command to not eat and to go home by a different way. That is crucial, to follow the Lord's commandments right down to the letter. In Acts 20, verse 32, Paul commended to them the word of the Lord, those elders. In 2 Timothy 4 and verse 2 and Titus 1, 9, 2 Timothy 4, 2, he told Timothy, preach the word. In Titus 1, 9, the elders there, one of the qualifications, that they would have the courage to rebuke those who taught things contrary to the truth. They're supposed to hold fast the faithful word, not to become inconsistent with the work of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles, that is, the word of God, 1 Peter 4, verse 11. Nothing more and nothing less. But a lot of religious people today, they're deceived, aren't they? They want to compete in the race according to their rules and not according to God's rules. Many times because they don't get God's rules. They don't understand it. I read about a bicycle race. It was kind of an interesting bicycle race. The poster that would advertise it out in the public said, bicycle race, and then you read and read all the rules and so forth. And this particular bicycle race was interesting because whoever, when the race was over, whoever was closest to the starting line won. And the idea was that you'd get on the bicycle. Have you ever tried to get on a bicycle and ride as slow as possible without falling over or toppling over or putting your foot on the ground? That's what this race was all about. And they were to get on the bicycle and try to pedal as slow as they could. If they toppled over or put their foot on the ground, they were disqualified from the race. And so they would begin the race and they would all pedal as slow as they could and yet fast enough to keep their balance. And when the race was over, whoever went the least distance won the race. Well, there's this fella. He didn't get that part. He just read bicycle race. And so he showed up with his bicycle. He got in the race. And the race began. And here's all these people pedaling slow. And boy, he's just getting it down through there. And he's just paddling away and looking back. And said, boy, I really got it now. And so I'm going to work even harder and go even faster. And I'm going to really do the best I can and work hard. And then the race was over. And it was determined that he was in last place. And he said, what? People today in religion, they're running the race but ignoring the rules, aren't they? And they're just so zealous and so on fire. They're just paddling away. And they're violating the rules of how God said do it. Remember Romans 10, verses 1 to 3, where Paul's prayer for Israel was that they may be saved, indicating that they were lost. And the reason that they were lost, Paul said, they had a zeal for God. That's his words. Read the passage. They have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. And seeking to establish their own righteousness, they have rejected the righteousness of God, ignored the righteousness of God. And Paul said they're lost because of that. You can have a zeal for God. You can work and you can labor hard, like those in Matthew 7, 21 to 23, who cast out the demons and did many wonderful things in God's, in the Lord's name. But if you don't do it according to the rules, if you're not consistent with the pattern that the Lord had laid down, your ministry is useless. Your service is useless. And we'll lose our souls. And so we see in this passage in 1 Corinthians 13, a ministry described. Number two, we see not only a ministry described, but we see a minister deceived. This is the sad part. Verses 11 to 20. Now remember, he had delivered his message, and he told the king he couldn't stay and eat because the Lord said not to, and he had to go home a different way, and he was in the process of doing that. And verse 11 says, now an old prophet dwelt in Bethel, and his sons came and told him all the works that the man of God had done that day in Bethel. They also told their father the words which he had spoken to the king. And their father said to them, which way did he go? For his sons had seen which way the man of God went, who came from Judah. And then he said to his son, saddle the donkey for me. So they saddled the donkey for him, and he rode on it, and went after the man of God, and found him sitting under an oak tree. And then he said to him, are you the man of God who came from Judah? And he said, I am. And then he said to him, come home with me and eat bread. And he said, I cannot return with you, nor go in with you. Neither can I eat bread nor drink water with you in this place. For I've been told by the word of the Lord, you shall not eat bread nor drink water there, nor return by going the way you came. He said to him, I too am a prophet as you are. Now this man's doing pretty good so far. He's sticking with it, isn't he? God said I couldn't do it. I'm not going to do it. I'm on my way home. But then this old prophet said to him, I too am a prophet as you are. And an angel spoke to me by the word of the Lord, saying, bring him back with you to your house that he may eat bread and drink water. And then in parentheses it says, he was lying to him. Do men of God often lie? Abraham lied, didn't he? Isaac lied. Oh, the need for us to be careful, even with religious leaders. This was an old prophet of God. He said, I'm a prophet of God too. And an angel of the Lord appeared to me and said, go get him and bring him home and feed him. And verse 19 said, so he went back with him and ate in his house and drank water. And now it happened as they sat at the table that the word of the Lord came to the prophet who had brought him back. And we'll pick up the reading in a moment. You know, it's very easy for us to be deceived when we do not read and heed the Word of God. I'm always saying before my lessons, check me out. I can stand up here all day and say, I'm not trying to deceive you. That could be a lie. I hope that I live my life in such a way that you would believe that to be the truth. But don't ever assume it. Not with any preacher, not with any religious leader, because there are religious leaders out there today and they're inconsistent with the word and the will of God. And they come to you and they say, I too am a servant of Christ. Remember Romans 16, 17, and 18 when Paul says, mark and avoid those who teach things contrary to the doctrine which you have learned? For those who are such are not servants of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why say that? Because they say that they are servants of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And Paul says they're not. And by smooth words and flattering speech, deceived the hearts of the simple. That's what this old prophet did. He deceived the man, didn't he? Listen, if it was me and I was standing there and he told me that, I say, you bring that angel down here right now. Let's talk to him. Matter of fact, I don't even want the angel. Let's get the Lord down here. Let's see what he says, because the Lord spoke to me and told me not to eat, to go home. And now you're saying an angel appeared to you and told you something contrary. God doesn't contradict himself, does he? But this man fell for it, didn't he? Imagine he was impressed that this was an older prophet, an older man, has the respect and the wisdom that comes with age, and he just believed what he told him. So many people have been deceived because of an older man who had a lot of influence, was popular, a great speaker, had done a lot of good works. And they're deceived by them. What did Paul say about Satan in 2 Corinthians 11, 13 to 15, when he's dealing there with these, literally from the Greek, these pseudo-apostles or super-apostles? At least that's what they called themselves. They had set them up to be apostles, and they're really not apostles, Paul explains there. He said, Satan himself can make himself appear as an angel of light. Why? To deceive people. We need to be very, very careful that we're not deceived. The Bible talks there about deception in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 9 to 12. It says, the coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders. I wonder if we have that today. Preachers out there today who are performing miracles, lying wonders, so-called miracles, claiming to be great ones of God. And verse 10 says, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. This prophet had the truth, but he didn't love the truth enough, didn't he? God had spoke to him the truth. You go home by a different way. Don't stop. Don't eat. Don't drink, or you'll die. He had the truth, but he didn't love it enough to not be deceived by a lie when it came along. And this was a prophet of the Lord being deceived by another prophet of the Lord. Preachers today, religious leaders can be deceived, even by other religious leaders. Did Jesus say something about the blind leading the blind? And they'll both fall into the ditch. How do I know? Open your Bible and read it. The truth's all there. Don't be deceived. He says here, those who are deceived, why? Because they did not receive a love of the truth. If you really love the truth, you're going to have your nose in this book every day, reading it, studying it. And you'll be aware of the truth so that you'll know error when it comes along. But when we don't love the truth enough, we don't dedicate enough time to it, error comes along, we don't recognize it as error. It's presented to us in smooth words and flattering speech by someone who's an older preacher and well-respected and got a lot of knowledge and wisdom. And what happens? We buy it, don't we? And we become deceived. Paul told Timothy as a minister in 2 Timothy 2:15, study the word or be diligent. Study it. So that you may know the truth. So that you have no need to be ashamed as a minister. So that you may handle the truth properly. Handle it aright. Or rightly divide. And so in this story we see three things. We see a ministry described. He did real good up to a point. But then we see a minister deceived. And he was deceived by another older prophet of God. And then finally we see a ministry destroyed. Let's go back to our text in 1 Kings 13 and let's pick up our reading in verse 21. It says, and he cried out to the man of God who came from Judah, saying, thus says the Lord, because you have disobeyed the word of the Lord and have not kept the commandment which the Lord your God commanded you, but you came back, ate bread and drank water in the place of which the Lord said to you, eat no bread and drink no water, your corpse shall not come to the tomb of your fathers. I find it very interesting that God revealed this to him through the man that had deceived him. Isn't that interesting? That shows the shamefulness and helps that older prophet to be even more ashamed. Here, God's revealing this message through him that directly contradicts what he had just lied about. Before, God sent the angel and said, come eat and drink. Then they're sitting there eating, and then the same man says, oh, by the way, you weren't supposed to come here and eat and drink. You should have done what the Lord said to do. Now you're going to die. Because you disobeyed the word of the Lord, it says, have not kept the commandment which the Lord your God commanded you. But you came back. Verse 23, so it was after he had eaten bread and after he had drunk that he saddled the donkey for him, the prophet whom he had brought back. When he was gone, a lion met him on the road and killed him, and his corpse was thrown on the road, and the donkey stood by it. The lion also stood by the corpse, and there men passed by and saw the corpse thrown on the road, the lion standing by the corpse, and then they went and towed it in the city where the old prophet dwelt. And then the story goes on about how the old prophet came and tended to those matters. This prophet's ministry ended because of God's discipline, didn't it? He had accomplished great things already. The word was already out about what he had just done up there at that altar. But then he fell. And we don't know what great things he could have accomplished for the Lord if only he had been obedient. Again, 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie, that they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Preachers can do that. Preachers can preach false doctrine. Galatians 1, 6 to 9. Paul places a strong curse upon those who preaches any other gospel, he said, than what we have preached to you. Paul even said, even if we or an angel from heaven, now he's not saying an angel from heaven is going to do this, but he said, even if it did happen, even if an angel came down here right now, poof, and appeared before all of us and began to preach something, Paul said, you check him out just like you'd check the preacher out. If he preaches something contrary to what you've already been taught, let him be accursed. Even if he's an angel from heaven. In 2 Timothy 3, we have some interesting information. Paul writing to Timothy said there, verse 5, beginning, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. For of this sort are those who creep into households and make captives of gullible women, loaded down with sins, led away by various lusts, always learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres resisted Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds disapprove concerning the faith, but they'll progress no further. These are people who are teachers, religious teachers, going from house to house and deceiving the women even. And even enticing them into sexual immorality, using religion as their basis. Isn't that sad? Verses 13 to 15, but evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. But you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. You must continue in the truth, he says. These evil men are growing worse and worse. They're deceiving. They're being deceived. And Timothy, you're not immune, Paul said. As a preacher of the gospel, you could be deceived. You know, I'm not that old. But even in my short life, I can look back and think of many, many preachers who were great preachers, and who preached the truth for many years and stood strong and stood firm and was zealous and diligent for the word of God and teaching lost souls. And then made a choice to do something that destroyed their ministry, destroyed their influence. Perhaps it was a fleeing of sexual immorality. Or maybe it was that somebody, their child, or somebody in their family had got themselves involved in some kind of error, perhaps an unscriptural marriage. And this great strong preacher who preached the word for many years changes his position and embraces error in order to justify their relative who have went off into error. I've seen that. And they lose their influence. Their ministry is destroyed in a lot of ways because of that. And so Paul tells Timothy, you must continue in the truth, preach the word, study the word diligently. You know, I've heard people over the years criticize preachers for spending too much time in the office, too much time with his nose in the books. I tell you what, if your preacher don't have his nose in the Bible, you need to get on to him. Because that preacher needs to be well aware of the Word of God, constantly feeding from it, diligently studying it each and every day, for hours every day, because anyone can be deceived. Paul says he could be disqualified, he could be deceived. And preachers need to make themselves well aware of the truth and continually reminding themselves of the Word of God so that they'll always handle it right. so that they'll grab the strength and the encouragement they need from it, even emotionally and spiritually, to be able to stand when error comes along and to not embrace it. It's sad when a good ministry is destroyed, when a great preacher stumbles and topples. It's sad when any Christian falls from the Lord. And so there are some great spiritual lessons we can learn from this man. We don't even know his name, but he was a great prophet. Unfortunately, he was a great prophet who failed. He ignored the truth that God had revealed to him. He decided to believe the lie. And it cost him his life. It cost him his ministry. And it cost him possibly years of good work he could have done further for the Lord. What a shame. We've seen a ministry described. He did real good at first. Boldness. We see a minister deceived, but he gave in and believed the lie. And as a result, his ministry was destroyed. Let's pray.